Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like you to take this time, if you can, to read through the minutes that have been handed out to you as you walked in. If you do not have the documents, you can get them at the front door. We'll be starting in about 5 minutes. Thank you.
John?
Yeah, but I need to just...
that, Kevin. You could stay there if you want, but I had a cable. Are you okay? I'll give you a second. So go local laptop and make sure you're all good. You have audio?
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. We'd like to begin. Sorry about that delay. We had a technical problem. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming. I know the weather isn't the greatest, but it is what it is, so here we are. I'd like, first of all, to start, of course, with the agenda, which is up here, and you all should have a copy. And again, I'd like to reiterate that if you do not have any documents, they're all at the front. So I'd like you to pick those up before we start. Okay, everyone's ready. So I would like to have someone approve the agenda as presented. Dino? Second? Norm? Okay. Moving on to item number two, which is the approval of the minutes of June 13th, 2013. You all have copies of the minutes, and I hope you have had the time to go through them. And if so, I'd like to know if anyone, first of all, has any corrections to the minutes. Very well. Can I have someone move to approve the minutes? Norman? Sorry, Phil Newman. And a seconder?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your name.
Phil Newman.
Phil Newman.
Joanne? She knows. You know Joanne Lillette?
Joanne, last name?
Lillette. Excuse me. Very well. We'll move on to item number three, which is the council elections results. I would ask the chief returning officer, Renal Lepage, to come forward. Renal?
Good on everybody. The new council members are for three councils, Thomas Chalmers, Sherry Child, Mary Chin, Arianna Comodini, Heike Ferber, Dan Lafreniere, Laurie McKenna, John O'Malley, Jesse Ratz, and Patrick Ritchie. For L Council, Maggie Allen, Anne Avery, Nancy Grove, Tim Godger, Heidi Simons, and Deborah Yee. For Tea Council, Andreas Gadmer, Diana Lee, Sam Minter, Sanjeev Panigrahi, Richard Rossi, Bada Wishat, and Roberto Tariello. Congratulations to all of them.
Thank you, Renal. We'd like to now move on to item number 4, which is the proposed Munaka Amuse merger. You will note that you all have documents. These have also been sent out. The ones that were available today have slight modifications, and I do mean slight, so we will be pointing those out. As well, we have representatives from the Amuse executive. In the event that you have questions regarding Amuse, they're here to answer those questions. So, what I will do is briefly go through why we have this document and why we're presenting it. As you may remember back, I guess, 2009 when we were elected, we actively sought to join with another large union. And during the research process, we came upon the PSAC because the PSAC were already representing the casuals here at McGill University. So as you may recall, we were promoting going with the PSAC in the hopes that one day we would be one big union. Now, where we are today is we have now signed with the PSAC. So we are with PSAC, and we are a brother union to Amuse and Amure, as well as the floor fellows that fall under Amuse. And what we are looking at now is a political merger. I would like to first of all stress that this is a draft. So these are our ideas that we've run through the councils, and we are now distributing it to the membership so that we can get your feedback. So on top of that, it was something that was initiated from Munaka. This is something that we wanted to do, and this is the first step towards that. So there's no vote today, so nobody has to worry about that. We're just putting out the information, putting out the rationale. We're asking you to take the time to review the document, take the time to review the question and answer section at the end, and by all means, add to it and let us know what your concerns may be and what questions you may have. So as I stated earlier, this all started way back in 2009. What we're proposing is a political merger, which means that Munaka's collective agreement remains. So we have our collective agreement, Amuse would have their collective agreement. The only thing that we're proposing to change is the union structure to manage the two units. So for instance, the executive would now expand and encompass both Amuse and Munaka, as well as floor fellows. So we would cover everybody in the executive level. Then we're looking at changing the structure of what we have today, which is council representatives and council committees, then moving to amalgamating all of them into what is similar to our board of representatives today. So, of course, because we're putting all of these people into one, we want to change the name. And as you can see in the document, we are looking at a union committee. So, again, the union committee would encompass all the groups. We have broken it down on page 6 into how many representatives would be necessary to properly represent the portion of the individuals. So everything is done by proportion. And I would like to remind you all that Munaka, today, we are 1,373 members. One of the rationales for us to push for this document is also in 2007, so 7 years ago, we were 1,700. So we've dropped a considerable amount. What's been happening is the university has been looking at ways where they could take our jobs away. And as you all know, from way back, they had turned a lot of jobs into casuals, which led to the unionization of the casuals, so they could stop abusing these workers, which is now the great job that Amuse is doing. And what we would like to see further to that is a merger between the two, because what still happening, as you may know from the people that have taken the retirement packages, the unions are now looking at how many people are now being turned into M's, first of all, and how many people are being replaced by more casual workers. Our problem today is that because we're not one unit, we can't openly share all of this information. And we're thinking that if we are one unit, not only will we be able to share the information, but when we're in negotiation, both parties would know what's going on behind the scenes. So what is it that McGill is trying to push, and what is McGill trying to change in both our collective agreement and Amuse's to make sure that they keep us apart? So it is a very good strategic move on our part for us to join, because we would be able to monitor where these people are. To date, we have been asking our members, and I ask you again, that if you do notice new people in your area, and they're not Minaka, to let us know. This is very important because, as I said, a lot of people have taken the retirement package. Those people are gone, but the jobs are still there, and somebody has to do them. So if you're not doing them, somebody else is, and we need to know who those people are. So it's very important to get that information and for us to work as a team to resolve that problem. Of course, the other question is going to be the name. I'll tell you, I have no clue. We're still looking at what we would call the large unit, but as I said earlier, Munaka as a separate unit, which may be called Unit A or B, however we want to segregate the two, we need to be able to have a title for the main unit, and we don't have that today. It's not a rush, but it's just something that we're open to suggestions as well. So that's a brief rundown. Again, I'm going to encourage you all to go through the documents, talk to your council reps. As I said, we have been working with the councils to get their concerns reflected into these documents and into the answer and question section that's at the end. And again, we're very open to having you guys come forward and present whatever concerns or questions you may have. And on that note, I will open the floor to those. And if you do have a question, please come up to the mic and state your name and ask your question. Thank you.
Hello, Kim Bray. I just wanted to know what the membership for Amuse was. You said Minaka's was...
Oh, it's in the document. It
I
says 1,300.
What?
It's in the document.
Okay.
1,300.
Okay. You want her to say it.
Happy to answer the question. Our membership fluctuates a bit, especially depending on the time of year. Oh, I'm Amber Gers. I'm the president of Amuse. Our membership does fluctuate depending on... Thank you, Nancy. depending on the time of year, in the summer, a lot of people who are students will leave, but we tend to be between 1,300 and 1,400, and those members also, the majority of them work part-time, so fewer hours than most Minaka workers.
Okay. Thanks.
Scott.
My name is Scott from McDonald College. I had a couple questions, if I could. First of all, political merger... What does that mean exactly?
As I said earlier, it means that politically we would be under one structure.
Right.
But we would have our own separate bargaining units. So that means that the executive would be comprised of representatives from both bargaining units,
mm-hmm.
and so would the union council.
Would it be the same executive bargaining doing the negotiations for both groups?
No. No. We would have our own, we would have separate bargaining entities, so those that are representatives of Minaka, or previously known as Minaka,
right.
would be negotiating for our contract, and those for Amuse would be negotiating for their contract. Although, we are open to the idea of having either observers or participants from either one on each other, so that we would be able to make sure that whatever we're negotiating for is not working against the other unit.
I think that's fair. That was one of my concerns, is that we'd have the casuals negotiating possibly and not knowing or not be as invested as maybe the long-term employees here on some of the issues. So that sort of
You're
really
absolutely right. That wouldn't make any sense for a unit that doesn't know how our unit
really
runs to be negotiating for you. No, you would have to have your own representatives.
That's fair enough. And so right now, do we not have an open dialogue between the two groups?
Yes, we do have an open dialogue, but I can tell you and you probably know too, Scott, that when you get the information from McGill,
right,
it takes time for them to get it to us. So for us, it's about a month, and if I'm not mistaken, you get it by semester. So they, right now, during the summer, they're going to find out who were their members in September. In January? Oh, boy. Okay. Which is ridiculous. So that's why if we have a merger, we can work with our members, first of all, to identify, as I said earlier, those that are working in your area that are not MUNACA. We would then know who they are, be able to communicate with a MUSE, who would be right on the executive, and we would be able to go forward to identify who these people are well in advance, instead of finding out, like 6 months later, that, oh, they've been doing MUNACA jobs all this time.
Right, right. Okay, that holds some water, too. I'll buy into that one. Another one is, in the event of a strike, do we support each other? Does you guys go on strike? Does that mean we're on strike and us on strike?
No, because we have separate bargaining units, we cannot go on strike because the MUSE goes on strike. But, of course, we would support them in every way that
sure.
we can. But we could not walk out with them.
We could not walk out with them.
And they could not walk out for us as well.
So me being a simple guy, what I try to do is put everything onto a plus and minus, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the pros and cons. So the only pro that I see so far, and I'm not against the idea. I mean, I like the idea of bigger group. I think it's fantastic. We need more numbers. It's too bad that our campaign to try to get the M's on board kind of fell flat a little bit, because I think that would have been excellent as well.
That may change.
Well, I hope so. I've been a long-time supporter of that that direction. But
just to be clear on that point, for the M's, they could never be with us. They could be a separate unit for PSAC, but we cannot absorb them into MUNACA. I just want to make that clear. But in the future, if they were to be unionized by PSAC, they could also become another unit, another bargaining unit with whatever we call our main.
Okay. So another local, but they couldn't be part of, call it MUNACA for now. They couldn't be part of MUNACA.
We can't just unionize them into MUNACA.
To include another category as well.
That's right.
Okay. So the only pluses that I'm seeing is the quick exchange of information back and forth. Am I right with that?
That's one of them, yes. But also for us to be working together against the university. I mean, the university is going to know, and by the way, I actually got a phone call this morning about, I heard you may be merging. So they know about it. It's not in their best interest, but legally they can't do anything about it because it's a political merger. That's completely up to us.
Okay.
So they're nervous about it because then they know when they're talking to a MUSE, and I could cite this from recent cases that we've had at court where they will call up each president and say, well, what are you going to do? Because, you know, they're going after your people. They're already doing this.
That's
so we know
nice,
what
eh?
They're,
that's
what they're
nice.
Up to. But if we are openly working together and we have a structure that incorporates the two, they're going to lose that advantage.
So we're creating a netted front.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Hi. Just a small technical question about the proposed makeup.
Just your name first, please.
Tim Johns in Faculty of Medicine. About the proposed makeup of the council.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what's the reasoning behind the overrepresentation of floor fellows and L representatives on the council.
I'm sorry, what do you mean by the over?
Well, they represent 3% of the members, but 8% of the council.
The rationale for that was, first of all, we wanted to ensure that people that are currently, what we're trying to do is merge what we have today, MUNACA, and we've been here for 20 years, by the way. We're trying to merge what we have and bring that into a new structure. And we all know that change is a very difficult thing at times, but this is something that we really need to do. So our rationale was that if we can try to keep some of the structure that we currently have, it would be less painful to merge it into a new, larger structure. So that was the rationale to have the numbers that we have currently. And then because of that, as you pointed out, the number of L's and the number of floor fellows are equal. So we can't have two L's and only one floor fellow.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you want to add anything to that?
You can say it if you want.
No, it's your AGM. I don't want to step on it. So one of the, on that point, the reason why the groups with the smallest number of membership have a slight overrepresentation on the board or on the council structure is just because of that, because they're really in quite a minority in the membership, and we think that it's better to have a slight overrepresentation of at least of two representatives instead of just one person. And also for the floor fellows, they're going to have their own collective agreement, so we think it made sense to have more than just one person representing them on this quite large council. So just for the groups that are very, very quite like very small in membership numbers, we slightly overrepresented them, which I think is standard practice for a lot of when you're trying to work it on a more equitable basis for representation.
Mary?
Okay, I'm Mary Chin. I'm a City Council rep and chair of the Communications Committee. City Council met on Tuesday, and we had a list of questions, which I did send out. I don't know if that was sent over to exec. Should I ask them today?
Like,
I don't have
sure.
a list, or do you want to...
No, they're your questions. Go
okay,
ahead.
I don't have the list with me, but I can try to sum them up. We had about five questions or comments.
Six.
Yes. Okay. Would you like to read them, Kevin, if
no.
you have them? Okay, I will do that. I may monopolize the mic then. I'll just read them all, and perhaps you can...
Well, I prefer if you'd like to read one at a time, and then I could respond to them.
Sorry,
otherwise,
San Francisco. the first question is... What's in it for Minaka? What's in it for PSAC?
Well, I think I've explained what's in it for us.
Right.
What's in it for PSAC? Well, from my perspective, it would be the structure that we already represent, and that it would make a more stable structure for AMUSE. As you know, there are a number of members of AMUSE that are casuals, that are student casuals, and therefore they change rather frequently. So to ensure stability, which is, again, one of the reasons we wanted to go with a large union, because the current executive are not going to be here forever, but it's nice to have someone who will still be around PSAC to be able to keep everything together. So when a new group comes in, that was our original, our original idea, when a new executive comes in for even MUNACA, the PSAC would still be there to help guide them towards where we are going with the union, instead of a new group coming in and then just starting from scratch. So that works in AMUSE's favor as well, and that helps the PSAC to keep the two groups, and perhaps in the future more groups, together and working as one unit.
Okay. Can I just say one little thing on that subject? I think we need to stop thinking of the PSAC as a separate entity from us. We are the PSAC. We are all PSAC members. It's not, they're not working against us. We're not working against them. We're all together. We are one unit, one union. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you, Jane.
I know that certainly in City Council meetings, we've also wanted to get some sort of like a summary of of our relationship with PSAC, like how has it been so far? What have we gotten for? What are the benefits that we've received? What are things that we could do better? And I don't know if that's ever been done, but I think that would be useful to help us understand how it has been in the last couple of years.
Mary, yeah? That was talked about at the BOR. We did do that, and that's off the topic as well. We're talking about the merger here.
But yes, we did, just to clarify for everyone, there was a request for a report from the executive, and that was done at the last BOR. I don't know why you don't know about it, but it was handed to your representatives.
It was not discussed on Tuesday's meeting.
Okay, well, you might want to talk to your BOR reps to see where that went.
Okay. All right, the second question that the City Council had was about potential conflicts of interest between AMUSE and MUNACA, such as a situation where if an AMUSE member who has been occupying a post full-time and the post becomes open for recruitment,
And who would get priority for the post? Would it be the MUSE member who had been currently occupying the post, or would it be a Minaka member who applied for it and had greater seniority? So we were wondering if there could be conflicts of interest in that.
There would be no more conflict of interest than there would be today. We both have our separate collective agreements, and they stipulate how individuals are hired. For instance, if the position is a permanent full-time position, then it would be open to Minaka. So right now we have members of MUSE, and we have in the past of casuals that have been here longer than 2 years. When they're here longer than 2 years, they are supposed to become Minaka members. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to think that, oh, we're stealing members from one unit or another. I think most MUSE members who have permanent positions would love to have a full-time permanent position. And if they come into Minaka, it's not like they're suddenly being kidnapped from one unit. They're being transferred into another unit where they would get the full benefits of being a full-time employee.
Sure.
Also, on this point, I think the merger would help us deal with a lot of those problems. Right now, there's a really big gray area between the casual unit and the permanent staff unit, especially for a lot of our members who are replacing Minaka members on leave. Currently, casuals, we have a whole separate group in our collective agreement for Minaka replacement workers who replace Minaka members on long-term disability, parental leave, or developmental leave. And sometimes they're working in those positions for 2, 3, 4 years with no real job security or any path to a permanent position, because whenever that Minaka member comes back, then the casual is gone 2 weeks' notice, that's it. And we think we could work together to help those members. Those members are the most excited, I think, out of our membership for this merger because they are doing Minaka jobs and they're not getting the benefits. So there's a gray area there. There's a gray area for a lot of our casual members who are working full-time, who are definitely doing work that doesn't seem truly casual. And right now it's hard for us to really effectively address them, especially the structural problems, because it's a structural problem across the whole university. It's not just a case here or there. So I think the merger would help us come up with a real plan and then maybe look at the disconnects between our collective agreements, where those people are in the middle are falling through the cracks, which is happening quite a lot. They do tend to be our members, but they should be in Minaka jobs. They should be in the Minaka bargaining unit a lot of the time. So for me, that's a big
So you're saying positive. Basically there's some of the perceived conflict comes from the ambiguity in the two collective agreements.
Yeah, exactly. I think in terms of conflict of interest, I think most of us at MUSE, probably all of us, would be really happy to see all of our members have much better paid, much better compensated Minaka jobs. And so there's not usually a conflict of interest. It's more of a logistical conflict of which collective agreement they're put in. And usually when they're put in ours, and they should be in yours, which would be better for all of you and for our members. We just actually struggle to be able to do that logistically, given there was never a connection design between our collective agreement or any mm-hmm. any because they were done at different times. We don't have that. They don't mesh together well for our more full time members.
Okay. Then there are two questions which probably deal with various aspects of the same thing. Looking at the combined union office staff as well as the financial administrative resources, there was a question about whether that would be sufficient to serve the combined membership, both in terms of finances and also in terms of office staff responding to questions. We had thought, now that you say that MUSE is about 1,300, 1,400, it seems like we're nearly equal in numbers. But still, it's like doubling the number of members to be served. So mm-hmm. how do you see that? Do you believe that the actual combined staff and financial resources are sufficient?
Yes, actually, we do. We were looking at hiring one more individual to work in the office, mm-hmm. as well more liberation time for the added executives. And don't forget that with the merger of two units, we're going to have that many more stewards. And I know stewards are still at their early stage with us, but the idea is the more stewards we have, the more that they will be able to communicate with our members instead of 2,600 people calling our office. So right now we can't deal with the number that would call, which is why we introduced the steward system, and that has worked very, very well. So I don't see that adding the numbers and covering a larger executive would not be able to sufficiently cover what these members will require.
And how about the finances? Will the budget...
Well, again, the finances, we would gain 1,300 new dues submission. It is true that these members are not all full-time, but when you add all the numbers together with the input of funds that we would receive, it should be more than enough to run the whole enterprise.
Would we be able to see a proposed budget for the before voting on the merger?
Of course.
Okay, that would be useful.
And just to be sure everyone understands, we are not voting today. The vote will happen probably by the end of the year. So there will be plenty of info sessions. More people will, I'm sure, will have questions as they go through this and think about it. But yes, all this information as it comes up will be disseminated to all of you. So by the time it comes to a vote, you will have all of your questions answered.
Okay. Yes, Amber.
Just one more thing on your point about the budget. Yeah, we were planning on having a budget ready by the end of the year, sometime in the fall. But as for our membership, a lot of our membership, like, don't think of the number of our members as the same as the number of your members, because a lot of our membership are people working very few hours. Like, there's someone who might work 3 hours a week ushering, and they don't create the same amount of demand on our resource as our full-time members, which makes a lot of sense. So
okay.
That's also, you'll see that in the representation on the Union Council. We tried to balance it a bit based on the hours that we work versus our actual absolute number of members. So our union, even though we have just about the same number of members as you do, we don't have the same demand for support from everyone.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks. I have one more question, and then there was a comment. The current councils, since the number of representatives for all the councils would go down in the Union Council, there was a question whether the current council members could continue to meet monthly and be liberated for that, because we find that it's a very useful exchange of information and ideas and advice. And so we'd like to know, is it possible to consider that the current union Minaka councils could continue to meet monthly?
It is going to be possible. Now, when you talk about the liberation, we're going to have to put that in the budget.
Yeah.
And that will be presented. So if the membership is fine with the increased need of liberation for these meetings, then it would happen. But that would be something that the membership would have to decide on.
Okay. Also, the tone of the documents is very, very positive and enthusiastic for the merger. I understand that. They do mention some potential, the transition period where there would be, we need to resolve certain issues. Would you say that there are any cons to the merger?
Not that we can see, but if you have any ideas of what would be a negative, please let us know. But I can tell you from what we have been looking at, we don't see it as a bad thing. There may be slight adjustments that we're going to have to make, because we have to work together in a different fashion, and we have to encompass more of a variety of individuals and ideas. But other than that, I can't see why we would not be forward and positive thinking about this. This is something that we, again, initiated. So yes, the tone is positive, because it's something that we believe in and we are working towards. So again, it's open to all of you. If you have any concerns, if you have any doubts, you have to let us know so we can address them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, sorry.
Hi, I'm Justin Teed. I'm currently a steward, and I'm on the merger committee. Just in terms of that, I think one potential con that could come up, just because we're going to be merging two very separate unions, and even though we do a lot of the same work, we are different, and we have been existing in different spheres for a very long time. And so that could potentially cause problems. There could be differences of opinion. There could be problems where just getting everybody to understand where their role is and how we're all going to work together. But in regards to that, I think that each individual union, whether we're talking about Miyaka or Muse, we do have that issue now, because each of our unions does have very different sections, where either it's Minaka with like the T Council, the L Council, all those different types of members who all need to come and work together, or whether we're talking in Muse, where we have very casual positions, and then we have more Minaka replacement, and now we have the floor fellows. So, I mean, I think that that could potentially be an issue, but it, I mean, it's something that we're already dealing with in our own individual unions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Hi, I'm Francisco Uribe from the libraries. My question was also about the question of representation, let's say of L Council. It says two people would be on this new union council. When Reynald read out the names of the people who have been elected to L Council, there were seven people. Will there still be an L Council that will have a large number of people, two of whom will be in the Super Council, or will all of L Council now, if this is passed, consist of two people?
First of all, I'd like to get people to try and understand that there will no longer be councils per se. However, for instance, we'll take the L Council question right now. For the two representatives that would be sitting at this large group, they have every ability to go and meet with either your other five active members or all 75 of you. So there's no restrictions on that aspect, but the change is that the councils are dissolved and they are represented in the union council. We have to stop being so segregated as we have been in the past. As I will say, it does not work very well, and I know Alex is very well aware. Alex Leduc, who's the representative from PSAC, is very well aware of how it works in other units, and ours is cumbersome, I would say, to say the least. So it is, I know it's new for us because we've been doing it for 20 years, but it is not the best model, and what we're proposing is a step towards a better, we hope, organized model that encompasses everybody into one council.
So there would be a number of stewards in the libraries or among the
ECs,
and among those people, they would choose the two representatives to the Super Council?
The two representatives would be elected from all the Ls, and then what you have as stewards could easily report to those two.
Okay, thank you.
Or to anyone on the council. Are there any other questions?
Hello, I'm Joanne. I'd like to know, can you define what floor fellows are, please? Because we don't really know what they do, who they are. And thank you.
Yeah, the floor fellows, they're actually an exciting new development at Amuse, so we kind of had to incorporate them into the plans for the merger quite late. They were only accredited as a bargaining unit on May 6th. Floor fellows, they work in the residences. There's usually one or two on each floor, and they are there to support first-year students. They live and work in their residences, which makes for a very unique working environment. McGill is also their landlord, even though they never sign leases from McGill. And they stay there for a year. They're usually upper year students, and they work kind of an ambiguous number of hours, just supporting students, creating events for students, helping them through everything from, you know, coming home too late at night, maybe drinking a little bit too much, to very intense mental health crises. They just guide students through the first year. They're really a close-knit community. They know each other very well. They're very well mobilized and connected to each other. They've been a great unit to work with, which I just got to start doing this past year. And they're going to start bargaining in the fall. So right now, the way Amuse works is that we have two units within Amuse. So actually similar to how we're moving towards with this merger, is what we decide on. So we have two bargaining units within Amuse, one for the casuals, the casual workers, and one for the floor fellows. But the floor fellows are just those upper year students who work in residences.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay, so I will say again that we will be having info sessions starting as early as Early July. And we hope to have one or two per month until we come to a vote, which we're hoping and planning to be somewhere around maybe November, early December. So there's plenty of time. Again, I asked you to review them, review the documents, review the questions. And if you have more concerns or comments, please let us know. You have a question?
Hi, my name is Jan Walker. My question is just, how will the voting values be between the new MUs and the current Munaka? For General Assemblies, if there's a vote or whatever, what is their voting power? Will it be as equal to ours as it is now? Do we all vote together on our same issues? How is that going to work?
Well, that's going to be determined in the further document, which will break down how we are going to change our bylaws to represent the larger unit, which has not been done yet. But certainly, we're hoping to have equal voting rights for everybody. We're all going to be one. So for a General Assembly, there may be instances where we're going to hold a General Assembly just to talk about Munaka stuff, so more than likely the other groups will not either be invited or show up. So it's all going to depend on what you mean by the general. If you're talking like a General Assembly like this, then yes, it would be open to all groups.
So if it's an issue that just belongs to the old Munaka members, mm-hmm. and we call it GM for that, or mm-hmm. GA rather for that, then only the Munaka members will be voting on whatever that issue
yes.
is?
Yes, if there's a vote to be held, yes.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just trying to like legally see how we can just say, okay, we're together, but you know what? I'm just having...
The only time that we would have separate meetings would be if the issue pertains only to and only affects individuals in one bargaining unit.
Okay.
I mean, if the rest of you have nothing to do and want to go to their General Assembly, they may be open to that, but we have to realize that we are still two separate bargaining units. So if there's a bargaining issue, then it's only going to pertain to those members that the bargaining unit represents.
What's a bargaining issue?
Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say this. Probably one of the things I think is going forward is that there won't be a lot of issues that will only pertain to one or the other. I think a lot of the problems at McGill actually apply to all workers at McGill, especially non-academic staff. But I think in particular, and Kevin just mentioned at the end, after I'd already jumped up, is bargaining. I really see bargaining being things that we'll deal with separately. I don't think Amuse members will be voting on Munaka's collective agreement. That's not going to happen. And legally wouldn't be able to happen.
But this is why I'm just still trying to put in my mind the actual... I know there's no cons, but I personally just really don't see... I think it's a fine idea, you know, that we're all friends and we all work together and we can communicate. I don't see why we have to go through this costly merger.
Why is it costly?
I'm sure there's going to be legal costs and whatever.
Nope.
So this is all just going to be written up and it's all going to be fine and legal?
There's no legal costs. We're not changing the bargaining units.
So it's just
that
a question of finding a better road, path of communication between the
two.
Well,
it's a better structure for the union. And again, if you do look at today's agenda, everything on here would be a universal issue. Pay equity is a universal issue with Amuse as well. So is all the finances, because we would be one unit. We would all be dealing with the finances. So, and the only difference today is the proposed merger. So everything else on this agenda would pertain to a united group. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Andy Hoffman. I'm a technician here. Okay, political merger, we keep our own collective agreements. In the future, what's the timing on the collective agreements, and is there any game plan on synchronizing the collective agreements coming, like, due at the same time? Are we bargaining at the same time?
Currently, we are not bargaining at the same time, and as you know, we'll be coming up in 2015, and then Amuse, I believe, is shortly... 2014, April 20th.
Because you said the Floor Fellows are coming up soon, right?
They're both coming up soon, yes.
Right, but are we like eventually trying to synchronize it, that we're all bargaining at the same time to make
us
much stronger?
Well, I know we tried to do that last time, too, but we're not the
wouldn't,
only...
Wouldn't that make us much more effective?
It will and it won't, because then they have to deal with both at the same time. Personally, I think it's better to have them slightly separate, like they are right now, because then we get a picture of what the university is going after with one group, opposed to us being the first ones. So I don't think that it's necessary for us to be negotiating at the exact same time.
It's also about exercising pressure tactics, if you wish, at the same time.
True. But again, we can exercise the pressure tactics if the issues are mutually agreed upon. And I think in our case, that's what we're trying to work forward to.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tim Gallagher. I'm a library assistant at Schulich. I'm a steward. I'm on various, I guess I'm on the Social Justice Committee. And I was on L Council, or I am, I will be, but until it, as long as it lasts, let's say. All I would like to say or comment is that as a steward, if this merger goes through, I would like a separate training session similar to the kinds that we've done at AFPC on Rosemont, like the Bureau Central, specifically about how to cooperate with Amuse stewards, how we engage Amuse workers in the workplace, because I've often found that they don't know their rights. When you were talking about replacements, they've been exploited. One specifically in Schulich was exploited while she was a replacement. She wasn't receiving pay increases. She wasn't receiving holiday, accumulation of holiday time. So my hope is that as we're transitioning more or less into a new structure, if it actually goes through, is that if it does go through, we could really use a lot of help in breaking down this idea like administration uses against both units of divide and conquer. And the sooner we learn how to do that after the votes are over, the better, because it's going to take quite a bit of time not only engaging our own members, but also Amuse members in order to make this a much more open dialogue within workplaces at McGill. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Alex? I could assure you that currently we do have training, and most of our stewards, if not all of them at this point, but I know there's another training session coming up, have received initial training. It will, of course, have to be expanded when we are dealing with two different bargaining units, because we do have to be aware of the needs of both units. And we don't want a member to come up to either steward and present a problem and they not know what to do with it. So, yes, there would be more and different training when we have the two bargaining units working with one steward structure.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. That was a really good question. With the merger, I think stewards are so important, because I think the big problem that we're trying to address here, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, but I think that this is a major problem for both units, is the casualization of labor on campus, is that in the past 10 years, there's been many, many more casual positions created and far fewer permanent Minocca positions created. And as the president of Amuse, I have no problem saying I'd prefer our membership be much less and yours be much higher. And I think stewards will be so key to that, because they'll be in every workplace, and Minocca stewards will be there much longer than Amuse stewards. They're able to keep an eye out for things and can immediately communicate it back to both, to this new merged executive, and then it can be addressed in a way that it will be much more effective than right now, because our steward network, while we've done a lot of work to really develop it, we're still a new union, and our stewards come and go a lot faster. So Minocca stewards being on board to help Amuse, like counter that trend of creating a lot of casual positions, is so key. And this whole project, I think, is really about that, and about cementing and protecting Minaka jobs, but it has to be done together, and it has to be done through stewards who are in the workplaces, because none of the execs can be there all the time, and especially for Muse, we can't keep track of all of our members. Our membership changes daily. There's dozens of people turning over every day, and I think training will be really key to that. We can both learn each other's collective agreement. Minaka stewards can read Amuse's, Amuse and vice can read Minaka's, vice versa, and we can actually advance both of us by protecting each other's jobs and making sure that casuals, even when we do bargain for our benefits, even if they're less, that they are respected and that people don't fall through the crack. Because Minaka people are in every workplace. And Amuse members are almost in every workplace, but they come and go so quickly that the union can't necessarily be there and make sure that everything is being done properly. And that hurts Minaka just as much as it hurts us, because it makes a casual job much more attractive for the university because they can get away with a lot more.
Thank you. So if that's all the questions, I again encourage... There's one more.
Sorry, Phil Newman, technician. My quick question plays off of Andy's one. Is there any possibility or decision or thought process going into future merger of actually making a one unit?
That's something that we initially had talked about back in 2009 and 10. The problem that we're looking at right now, we think it's a little too quick to move that fast towards that, because, as you know, we're both going to be negotiating very shortly, and we don't want to scramble into doing something like that because it could be disastrous for both parties. So we think the best way to proceed is to have and start living with the two units, and then as we grow and everyone's more comfortable with the new structure, then we could look at the pros and cons of merging into one bargaining unit. Are there any other questions? You sure? Okay. So, again, I'm going to encourage you all to take a look at the documents. If you have any questions, you can contact either the office directly, or you can contact your stewards, your council reps. In the documentation, there are two emails. One is for the Amuse group, and one is for Minaka. But, again, I'm telling you, you could talk to any of your representatives to bring forward any concerns or questions. And, yes, and, again, as we stated, there will be info sessions that are starting early next month, and they will continue on until the end of the year. Thank you. Moving on, item number 5, pay equity update. This is everybody's favorite. Okay. I know that a lot of you have still not received information when you've complained that they did not give you enough details. The university is still going through the first batch, so they are answering those, because during that process, as you know, we've put out our bulletin saying that we found errors. We have found that they neglected to incorporate a huge number of people. So the update is, of course, they have agreed now that, yes, they missed these people, and yes, now they will pay those people. So we do have an agreement in principle. It's literally going to be signed this week. So as of this week, they will then continue on with the individuals that they have not responded to. We have asked and asked again, if you have not included us in your email questions to the university regarding the fact that they have not given you sufficient answer, then let us know. Because we are compiling these lists, and we are meeting with them. They have openly said they will meet with us and go through every one of those cases to see why they were not incorporated. The reason we're not doing it all now is they are still continuing with the first preliminary, and, as I said, they missed a lot of people, and a lot of the complaints were covering those people. So automatically, I would say 50 to 60% of those complaints will already be covered just with this agreement. So that's where we are today. And I can assure you that we have gone through very detailed information with the university. They are now open to sharing all of the numbers with us, which is something they did not want to do in the past. But now I believe they see that the more they do that and the more problems that come up, they just get in more trouble. The other two things I want to bring up, maintenance. The maintenance for 2010, which we all know was a while ago, they will be starting that next year. So maintenance, they have to go back to 2010, and I can tell you they will have to make further adjustments. They recognize that. They have not given us the date on that because they haven't plotted it until they finalize everything for the 2001. So once the 2001 is done, they will plot the 2010. We will be able to look at that. Then they have to do the 2015. So they're trying to catch up, and we've reminded them they're the ones who delayed it for 13 years, not us. So there's really no sympathy there, but they do have to pay interest on the 2010. So whatever we were owed, whoever was owed anything back to 2010 will get interest, and that's looking like a five-year period. The second item I wanted to bring up was they will start paying out to the members that they missed as early as this August. So people will start to receive payments in August, those that were missed from the initial February payout. They will be receiving a lump sum, like just like the initial payment, but they will also be paying the interest that is owed between the February period and whenever they end up paying it out. And Joanne.
Oh, yes. Hi, Kevin. Long time no speak to. There's a new thing on the HR website that's giving us pay equity. Sorry. There's a new sheet on the web for pay equity that shows different PEDs that are going to be, I would assume, are going to be paid. Can I show you it?
You can show it, but I think I know what you're talking about. What they have, or they've told me they were going to post, were the new mins and maxes.
That's right.
The new mins and maxes for the pay equity affected PEDs. So that what that means is the people that received pay equity adjustments now have a new grid, and it doesn't fit with the grid that's in the collective agreement.
But hold on 1 second. I never got pay equity. It looks like it's from the 2005. I don't get it, because I need to show you what I'm looking at, because
okay,
maybe
well
you'll understand.
We can do that privately, because I don't want to take up the whole time here. But
my question to you is, mm-hmm. with the new salary ranges coming in with the pay equity, does that mean our salaries should change?
You mean because the pay equity affected or the non-pay equity affected?
Well, if the pay equity, let's say you're in a level 8 and it goes up to $28. But
so
you're on the new scale from us from Monaco for June 1st, it was, say, 27. Does that mean that's going to change to 28?
If it was a pay equity adjusted group, then they will have already been adjusted by the pay equity minimum maximum, and the new 1.7 would be added to that, and as well a step.
Or I'll see you after that, because that doesn't look like it's been done.
I can assure you it has. We went through the numbers, but it may not be communicated. I don't know exactly how they worded it on their website, but that is what essentially we agreed upon, and those are the numbers that we've already verified.
Okay. Just so you know, the maximum and minimum that they're showing for the PEDs, if I take my own salary, all it is giving me right now is showing the maximum scale that I'm at with the new collective agreement as 1.5, it's not showing the pay equity adjustment and my salary range.
Right, but if you were not one of the individuals that got
a... On the new one, I am. I don't understand it.
Okay, we'll have to talk then.
Yes, please.
Are there any other questions? Dino.
Hello. So I'm one of the people that had an issue with my pay equity and that I didn't get one and they didn't know why. And so I sent in my letter to the university and they got we have received your email and we'll get back to you. Uh-huh. And that was over 3.5 months ago and I haven't heard anything. And now you say that The university has acknowledged that there are some problems and they're going to fix the problems and people are going to get paid, and that's wonderful. I want the calculations. Are they going to respond to my request for the detailed calculations? Because I know someone in my unit who suddenly got a paycheck and there was more money on it and she didn't know why, and it just said pay equity, but she didn't receive a letter, she didn't receive any information except for this extra money. She's asked the university, can you please tell me why you're giving me extra money? I think it's great, but what's it for? Like, what are the calculations? And she hasn't been responded to either. So it's one thing for them to give us the money, to pay out the money. I want to see how they got to that amount. Will we be getting that?
No, is in a nutshell, because, and I've seen the numbers, they're longer than this table. Now, if you have issue as to why did I get such amount and somebody else in my same head got a different amount, that we may be able to explain to you. In some cases, very few, we may go through all the numbers, but there's no way they can go through, and it's not just us, there's over 2,000 people that received pay equity. They cannot go through all of the details. And like I said, I have seen these numbers. It's enormous, the number of details involved. So overall, they will not go through every calculation, but what they can do is a brief breakdown to tell you, you got this because you were here for this number of years, you got this because you moved, if you had moved, or you got this because you were a certain level.
This conflicts with what Ms. Kieran said at the info sessions. She actually came out and said, if you want to know for your own personal specific situation, write to us and we will tell you. Personally, it doesn't sound like she's going to tell everybody across the board, but if you ask, what was
said
was
they were going to tell us. As I said, in some cases, if the individual is that persistent, they will probably go through all the numbers with you.
Then she's going to know my name.
But that's quite all right. She'll be happy to meet you.
Okay.
But I can tell you, it is a huge undertaking. They cannot possibly do that with everyone. They are not required by law to do that. So if they do it, it's at their own discretion.
So the people who will get a retroactive adjustment or whatever, will they be given a letter, will they be advised, or will they just, look at my paycheck?
They're supposed to work with us this time on what the letter will say when it goes out. And I can assure you that it is our intention to get as much detail as possible to explain why you're getting this amount and why you're getting it late.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There's somebody else.
Hi, my name is Deborah Yee, and I'm just asking a question in regards to our taxes for 2014. I know there's a section in your taxes to put in the amount that you got, but because it backdates something like 10 years, don't we need the details in order to fill out our taxes?
There are details that you're going to need for that, and they will have to provide them by law. So, but they all get dumped onto your 2014 return because you received the money in 2014.
Right, but are we going to get that from the university?
You are going to get
of
that.
I got
confirmation this morning, as a matter of fact.
Okay, thanks.
Just very quickly, am I ever going to get an answer from Pay Equity?
Everyone will get an answer. You may not like it, but you're going to get an answer.
Well, I'd like it this year. It'd be nice.
We all
if
would.
If possible.
Are there any other pay equity questions? Great. We will now move on to item number 6, which is the executive report. Again, you should have the executive report included in your package. I am not going to read the executive report. First of all, it will bore you all. But I do want to just highlight a few things. As you know, there's been a lot of change this year. We have reduced in number, which was largely due to the retirement packages that were offered and a number of our members have taken. So as I said earlier, we used to be 1,700 7 years ago. We are now a little under 1,400. So this adds to our argument for merging and to ensure that when those jobs do change over, that they're going in the right place. We're also glad to see that it's not due to layoffs. They are not laying people off, as you know, they were all crying when the sky was falling a few years ago and they would have to cut. So that did not happen, so we're happy to report that. But it does change the work environment, it's changing where people are and how they're being hired. So again, this is something that we have to closely monitor, and we do need your help to do that. So again, if there's any change in your area that you see, please let us know or let your stewards know, because we cannot be everywhere. And we do need this information. As I said, even Amuse gets it late. So they don't even know that their members are there until it's sometimes too late. And again, I won't go through all of the implications of the merger, but as you know, we have discussed that at length, and we're open to every member bringing forward their input, and we want to incorporate that into the final product by the end of the year. This will certainly make us a stronger union, we feel, and make us a little more, how should I put this, a little more frightening to them when they do try to make these changes, because they'll know that we will know, and if they're trying to hide it from them when they're not giving them the information for 6 months, that we would be able to report it to them. So I think that it is a good sign that they're already asking us about it. So they're obviously nervous about this. So I think it is a good idea for us to continue along that path. Pay equity, of course, will firmly be on our radar for the next couple of years. As I said, this is an ongoing process. Every 5 years, they're supposed to do an audit and ensure that everything is still on track. So we will always have to be present with them. And to date, they have agreed to that, so they're not resisting as they had in the past. So this is certainly a much better picture than we had when we had the previous administration.
Paragraph's missing?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Due to a photocopying error, the last paragraph is missing from the report, which is highlighted here in yellow. So I just want to make sure that people have a chance to look at that before we're done. Another issue that we underwent this year was the pay delay. As you know, that was a very difficult battle with the university, but we're happy to say that in the end, with PSAC, we were able to obtain the same deal that the national PSAC representatives in the federal jurisdiction received, which is a loan that is paid back when you leave.
Sorry, Kevin, can I ask you a question?
No, when I finish, then you can ask. Otherwise, I'll never get through this. Okay, of course, we're going on with our union building. The training providing by PSAC for our stewards, for grievance handling, for health and safety, training by the FTQ, which is a new exciting issue, pertaining to what is called social delegates. What these are individuals that are trained to deal with issues that our members may have, either mental issues, stress issues, health issues, problems that are affecting their job and their lives. So we do have members now that have been trained in this. We're starting, and we hope that will grow. I think it's a very good step in the right direction, because although we do have the employee assistance program, a lot of members have expressed a reluctance to use it because they're afraid that McGill would receive the information. By law, they are not allowed to receive it, and we've been assured that they don't, but we do understand that there is this reluctance, and we're happy to say that with a social delegate, we may be able to cover more grounds and get to people that are simply not willing to go to the EAP. Also, the engagement of the membership. That has been a great success. We have more members that are involved with social justice, with our social programs, with the grievance and health and safety, which is always an ongoing issue. The members have also been active in committees and councils, and just helping where they have the skills, such as building a new website or even helping out at the barbecue. So we're very happy to see that the participation of the membership has gone up. We want that to continue. We want you to feel that you are part of the union and not just somebody who comes to a meeting and votes on something. So at any time during the year, if there's anything that does come up that affects you, please bring that forward. Again, that's the reason that we have our stewards in place, why we have currently the councils, and why we are now developing the social delegates. We want to be able to reach out to as many of you as we can, and it's only through your participation that we're going to know what it is that you want us to improve upon. So I thank you and open the floor.
Just wanted to ask, what happens when a C moves to an M and they had the 2 weeks laying time? Because the M's don't have the 2 weeks held back. So what happens to that? They didn't take the loan.
First of all, once they leave my bargaining unit, I don't know what happens to them. I have no control over it. Yes. I cannot control what they're going to do to them once they're an M. But I would think that they would still get paid on the same schedule until they catch up to when the M's are being paid. So there would probably be a transition.
But that's a problem.
But
what do we care? They're not our members.
Well, she was a member.
But is no more.
Once they leave...
She's moving over to an M.
But once they leave our bargaining unit, we have no impact on them. If they have an issue as to why they're not getting their... I know, but I'm answering the question. If they have a delay, there's nothing I personally can do about it. They're not UNACA members anymore. They would have to go to UNASA.
And cross their fingers.
Are there any other questions? Great. Then we will move along. We'll move along to grievance committee. I thought it was grievance committee. Labor Relations report. David Roseman could not be here today, so Linda Bray, Vice President, will be giving the report. Linda.
Hi, everybody. Again, like Kevin, I'm not going to read the report out to you. If you have any questions, however, David did highlight a couple of victories for the union. In terms of HR, there were some changes in their labor relations unit that thankfully have gone smoothly for us. I think relations with them are still good. There have been, like I said, victories. One of the things that I think that's important that David pointed out is in terms of grievances being settled, it means that we've reached an amicable entente with the university. The member is always key here. It's what the member wants, and then, of course, what the union would favor. The problem with these, although they are considered victories for us, there's always a confidentiality clause that the university will insist on, so we can't publicly announce that we won. So sometimes that's where arbitration certainly is favorable. If we're going to win definitively, then we can, you know, we retain the bragging rights. But what's important is that the member get their just reward. So I guess that's there's really not much else. I would like to reiterate, though, what David wrote in that the office staff at UNACA is tremendous. We do have a new labor relations coordinator, Zara Abbas. Where are you, Zara? Oh, okay. Well, anyway, Christine will go and get her. Zara just started with us just before Christmas, I think. And she's on the ball. She works with David for the most part on any grievance issues. We have a great process in place. There she is. There's Zara, everybody. Welcome, officially. So, anyway, she has been instrumental, as David points out, has have Christine, obviously, the office manager that I think you all know. And then there's Josh, which has been an instrumental part of the office in the past. And we have Nick, who is also a part-time archiver. But we thank the four of them for their devotion, and we really appreciate their help. So I think that's it. It's David's report, but if you have any questions, we can try and answer them if there's anything grievance-related or labor relations-related. No? Okay, good.
Thank you, Linda. We'll now move on to item number 7, which is the PSAC report, and I invite Alex Leduc from PSAC Regional to come to the mic. Alex.
Thank you, Kevin. Good morning, or good day, I guess. Morning is over now. So I'm working at the Montreal Regional Office for PSAC, and I'm working with Munaka, Amuse, and Amur here in McGill. Just a few quick things for the report. PSAC is very enthusiastic with this merger ongoing. We think it's a good way to proceed to give more power to the union and more stability, but I won't get into much details as we had this discussion earlier on. There's a small training going on June 26th. It's a basic stewards training for the stewards that didn't have this training before. You can write to Christine and we'll try to register you. We just went last weekend over our triennial convention at PSAC for the Quebec region. It went well, over 200 delegates over Mont-Saint-Anne, very interesting weekend. Our regional executive vice president, Magali Picard, has been re-elected for another 3-year mandate, as well as her replacement, Monique Derry. We now have in full membership in PSAC in Quebec 46,000 members, and half of it is coming from the university sector, so it's a lot. Especially when we think that 10 years ago there was no university members within PSAC, so it moved very fast. And finally, we still continue our fight against Harper government cuts on public service employees. There's more and more cuts ongoing in the recent budgets. So each and every 19th of every month, we're doing a special mobilization activity in front of a public service building in Montreal or anywhere else in the province. So we'll try to invite you guys in solidarity with our friends from the Public Service Alliance in each 19 of the months. It's on at noon, and we'll give you in advance the place where we meet, and we do a small rally with our friends from the Public Service Alliance of Canada. So that was it. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Are there any questions for Alex? Okay. Moving on to item number 8, which is the presentation of the annual financial statements. I ask David Collant, Vice President Finance, to come up.
So you all have copies of the financial statements. I'm not going to go through the whole thing in detail, although I'll take questions. I will point out just a couple of things on the pages for on revenue and expense reporting. So that's the second page of numbers that you have. And this will also be reflected when we look at the budget and compare it with last year. Our dues revenues were down this year, partly because of the retirees, but also because, being full members of PSAC, our dues now go to PSAC Ottawa rather than to us. They send our portion back to us. This takes a 2-month delay. So there was a cash flow issue, and that's why the dues are lower than predicted. Because of this cash flow, we withdrew about $44,000 in the fall from the trust to cover this. Also, a couple of expenses that were one-time things and will not occur in coming years. Pay equity, there was a bill from our legal firm for approximately $26,000. This was due to past years' overages from the agreement we have with them, the retainer fee. This won't happen again because now PSAC covers all pay equity issues and legal fees. Also, as mentioned earlier, we now have a new staff member, and Yumitsu left us, and we had a retirement agreement with her, so that's a one-time expense. Two pages later, you'll see, again, as I pointed out, the financing activities transfers from Unaka Trust, $44,700. That was to cover that cash flow issue. That's the only thing I really want to draw your attention to. I will take any questions on the financial statements now, if you have any.
Hi, David. I just noticed that the liberation has gone down significantly between 2013 and 2014. Is there a reason why?
Because we haven't yet received the bill from McGill, so there will actually be more coming.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always late. Are there any other questions? Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, Dino.
The audit fee, there's like a almost a $600 increase from last year to this year. Did we get a fancy auditor?
Everything is the same auditor. His fees increase about 5% a year. You know, some normal increases.
So $500, that's a normal increase from one year to the next? That's pretty good. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, if you have any questions, you can talk to Shia. Yeah. Well, if there are no further questions, we'll move on to next year's budget. And I'll try and pull it up here. But, okay, so next year's budget, association dues, I've put it $290,000. This is looking, I did this based on what we've been receiving from PSAC over the last few months, and then increasing a certain amount because our salaries will go up, both due to pay equity to a certain extent, and also with the cost of living increase that we will get in June. Again, compared to last year, there are a couple of expenses, as I mentioned before, that we will not have. That's really the only major differences. Again, if you take any questions, if you have them, you want me to scroll through this, or you can read it more easily. Sorry, Scott, can you go to the mic? Yeah, so everybody can hear you. Office expenses.
Okay. On the office expense, you had budgeted, where did I see that now? Mm-hmm. Total office expense. You had budgeted $4,600 last year, and it was actually $7,400. And then this year, you budgeted almost the same as last year at $47,000. Was there something that was very costly?
Yeah, we had a couple of some computers that died and had to be replaced, so that shouldn't happen again for another few years.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
No. I thought it was interesting. All right, so if there's no further questions on the budget, I will just state that we've hired Finestone and Chan as the auditors for next year. Thank you.
Thank you, David. So we will move on to item number 11, which is question period. Are there any general questions that anybody has? Anything at all? Doesn't have to be on the agenda. If there's something that you feel should be discussed, feel free.
The Munaka Trust is worth almost $1 million. What's the plan?
Well, we are looking into how we would be able to distribute those funds to Munaka members. But that is a complicated legal process because of the nature of the fund. So we are looking at the details of that right now. So we do have through our retainer the firm that is reviewing that and seeing what we can do and how we can distribute that. Because don't forget, this money spans over quite a bit of time. So we have to look at the legality of if we give it to everyone today, what happens to the people that were here yesterday, and so on and so forth. So it's a little more complicated than just handing you all checks.
Because I remember with our affiliation with PSAC, there was a lot of concern that PSAC would somehow...
take this money?
Well,
absorb it?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, no. But with the merger now with the Amuse, is there any problem with that?
No, not that we see, no. The trust fund is entrusted to Munaka.
Munaka.
Yeah, it's entrusted to Munaka, and it's only our unit that can use
it. So there is a consideration of what to do with it.
Yes, and once we come up with ideas, we will bring it to you because it's your money. You guys are going to have to decide what you want to do with it.
Do you want us to submit ideas to you?
Sure. As long as they're legal.
Okay, thank you.
You can't take it to the casino. Scott.
Two things. It's something when we're talking with Amuse. I didn't get her name. What was her name?
Which one?
In the blue, I'm sorry.
Amber Gross.
Amber. Are I beg your pardon? Oh, did it? I'm sorry. I got my glasses in my hand instead of on my eyes, I guess. You talked about short-term, long-term, casual employees. Are you here for the long-term or for a little bit of time?
Sure. I don't know about very long-term, but I have been at McGill. I've been a casual employee at McGill in various capacities for 5 years.
Okay.
Actually, I got involved with Amuse during the Munaka strike when Barbara, who's up in the corner, was my supervisor. And I got involved with unions because I wouldn't cross the picket line to do her work while she was gone during that strike. So I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 5 years, but I have been involved with Amuse since the beginning of the next strike, and I'm hoping to be around for at least another year or so. Might go back to school at McGill, in which case I'll be here.
I hope you stay. You were fantastic. You your presentations, the way you spoke in the group, you're a real asset to them. I really hope that you do stay.
Thanks. I love everyone at Munaka. I have a lot of really good friends in the crowd, so yeah. I've really enjoyed working with Munaka and stewards and everyone here.
No, it's good. Sides. You're a good representative.
Thank you.
Now, the second part of my question, if I could. I talked to David about it, and I thought that maybe other people might have the same question. We talked about pension. I had noticed, like, especially for us long-term employees, our contribution has always been 5%. You start at McGill, you pay to get into your pension 5% until you retire. And McGill's, it was 5% up to the age of 40, where it went to 7.5%, if I remember right, and then 10 at 50 years of age. Now, it changed last January 1st, I believe, eh, David? But what I'm noticing now, and they've explained it to me, but I thought maybe other members might be confused on that as well. If you look at your pay stub, which is through Minerva now, if you take time to look at that, you'll notice that our contribution, my contribution, is actually more than what McGill's contribution is on there now. And it may be worthwhile if you're able to explain to them in a short term, or am I asking a lot now, probably, eh?
No, it's a fair question.
It's something that irked me when I saw it, and luckily I had your hotline there, so I give you a call and you calm me down. But I think it is something worth noting for the rest of us here as well.
Yeah, so for employees 50 and over, our dues contributions, not dues contributions, sorry, our contributions to the pension plan are now 8%, I believe. On top of that, as of January, we're starting to pay the deficit in the defined benefit portion. Now, it's a little of a legal loophole that McGill got itself. The Supplemental Pension Act actually states that for a defined benefit plan, it is the employer that must pay the whole thing of any deficit. So what McGill says in their legal documents is that they will pay the whole deficit, but then we will put in an amount worth 50% of that to our own accounts, which will then reduce McGill's contributions to our own accounts. It does not follow the spirit of the law, but it's been accepted in another case, and we did look into legal remedies for that, but it's unlikely that we would be able to do anything. So that's why instead of 8%, we are now paying 10.2%, and McGill, instead of paying the 10%, is paying 7.8%. We tried. We got a legal opinion, written legal opinion. Well, they're still having to pay the 2.2. Let's see now. I have to do the calculations, but 7.5, it would be 7% plus 2.2, so that's 9.2. McGill's over 40 is paying 7.5 minus 2. McGill is now paying a little bit less, but the difference isn't as great for people over 50. You're paying? Yeah, well, it looks like, because ours went up 2.2, theirs went down the 2.2. Yeah, this was put into place for 3 years. It will be reviewed if the investment in the pension plan investments start to do a lot better, and they are doing a lot better now. So it's quite possible, although no guarantee, that in another year they'll review it and figure out if the deficit has been paid off, and that 2.2 will be gone. They'll stop paying that. But that's, in terms of the amendments, it's in there for 3 years.
Are there any other questions?
Dan Lafreniere from Medicine. Are our office staff at the union still ununionized? Okay. And if so, why?
That's their business,
how can we change that?
This is a delicate legal problem. We have no influence on whether they are unionized or not. And if we do, as you've just brought up, which could contravene their ability to even unionize now, we cannot in any way influence them to unionize or not. Mm-hmm. We can't even suggest it to them. Because if we do, they can throw it out in the CRT. Just as the university couldn't come to us and say, hey, Kevin, I think you should unionize over there because you're being influenced by the employer, and that's the same scenario with us.
Doesn't look right.
Why does it not look right? No, honestly, why does it not look right? I mean, it's their position. If they felt that they are not getting a good deal, then by all means they can do whatever they want to do. But I cannot, and no one from the union can, go to them mm-hmm. and tell them that they should. Because if you do, you take away their right to even do it. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I assure you, when we brought this to the legal firm, they flipped. And they said, shut up.
It's Dan.
Do not talk to them about it. Leave it alone. It's their business, not ours.
Yep.
It's actually a protection for employees to have that kind of a legal ruling. It means the employer cannot influence them in any way. They make their own decisions. We are their employer. We cannot legally
discuss unionization with them. I will say, if they decide, we're not going to oppose it on principle, but we cannot legally discuss it with them at all. So, stop. Seriously.
Thank you, Dan. Mary.
Linda mentioned that the relations with the university HR has been pretty good, and that there was some comment about the present administration being better than the previous one. How has been your experience with Suzanne Fortier in the past year?
From my personal experience with her, it's been very positive. She's been sincere, from what I can see, in her discussions with me. And after we do have the discussions and we come to an agreement, she follows through with it. This is something that's very new, at least for me. Whereas before, we had a principal who walked through campus with a bodyguard and nobody can go near her. So it is a very different approach. And again, I can speak for myself and from the dealings that MUNACA has had with her, it has been a very positive change from what we've had in the past. Mary.
Yes, it made me think of something else. Again, in Sea Council this past week, we had a report from the LRC, and this is about the Faculty of Arts reorganization. Apparently, a document was shown that was supposed to have been distributed. HR represented that they would distribute it to the people in the Faculty of Arts. I can certainly say that I have not seen it. My supervisor has not seen it. The chair of our department still has no information. So it would be useful to let HR know that if they do want to send us this document, we're very eager to see what they are planning. There's still a lot of uncertainty and anxiety. Then we know that something's coming this summer, but we don't know what it is.
Again, I don't have any document. They haven't shared anything with me. David is not here. Perhaps he has more information on this, but as it wasn't on the agenda, we were not prepared for it. So by all means, if David has, to your knowledge, seen or heard of such a document, please contact him directly. But other than that, we have not officially received any document from either the Dean or the Faculty of Arts. So if there are no other questions, I would again like to remind everyone that MUNACA is 20 years old this year. So we will be planning a celebration later in the year, as we were unionized back in September. It happened in September 20 years ago. So there will be something coming shortly. And anyone who would like to help arrange such a thing, we are open to volunteers and ideas. So thank you again, and thank you all for coming. Can I have someone move to adjourn the meeting? Scott? Nancy? Sure, Nancy. Great, thank you very much, and have a good day. A bonfire? What are we going to burn? Thank you.